Tears are delicious, so never be surprised when they miss. I tell you, Malcolm tried to warn us, but my folks didn't listen. Independent thoughts still a threat to the system. Just seen a pig slam my sister by the freeway. Captured on his body cam, I couldn't watch the replay. Now every black woman and man should stay armed. This ain't paranoia, it's the calm before the storm. A global phenomenon, rooted in the caste system. Based on race and weaponized religion. And to this day, racism is alive and well. We made America great by surviving hell. Angry unemployed, my community destroyed by the influx of drugs. Black men become boys. They brought us over in chains to breed and stud. I don't want to be a player, but it's in my blood. Crystallized in my mind, they feared Obama in the White House.
Yeah, that's that Robbie Blue. That's white supremacy. Check out Robbie Blue on all streaming platforms. What's up, guys? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. It's late night, but we're here. We're here. Some of you guys are still up doing what you do, so y'all tune on in, pull up a chair, kick up your feet, chill out. We're going to chop it up old school style tonight. What we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen, first I need y'all to hit that thumbs up button, let everybody know that it's real. Also, what I need you to do is hold tight, because we're going to take a real quick commercial break, and we'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game, and I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
The Hurricane Report is a news website dedicated to lovingly serving the Black American community. Go to our website, h-report.news. Subscribe to us, follow us on Instagram at h_REEEPOORT, Twitter at the H Report 2, and share the articles. You can purchase merch, donate, or drop us a line through our contact form. Go to h-report.news. Take action and maintain freedom.
Looking to minimize the possibility of exposure to COVID-19 or the coronavirus? Then head over to iwantamask.com. We have face masks that have been approved by the FDA. Use the exclusive Tariq Radio discount code 1804 for 30% off your order at iwantamask.com for details.
Dave Anderson is passionate about helping our people get out of the rat race and getting into entrepreneurship. You've seen Dave Anderson on The Breakfast Club, Forbes, Black Enterprise, CNN, Fox News, spitting facts about business and entrepreneurship for our people. Dave Anderson has also generated $54 million for his clients last year, and he wants to help you grow your business. Go to thebusinessbully.com and connect with an amazing group of people that's going to help you start and expand your business. Head to, again, thebusinessbully.com right now and sign up for the Inner Circle Bootcamp and get top-notch training right now. Thebusinessbully.com right now.
Hello, everyone. We all know we're in the middle of a global pandemic right now, but what we don't realize is most of the masks that we use to keep ourselves and loved ones safe are not that effective. That's why the masks at normalbrands.com have been treated with a special solution that's harmless to humans and deadly to bacteria. Our masks are not made in China, but instead the US and Europe. Right now we're running a 20% off special until May 18th. So get your mask to keep yourself and your loved ones safe today.
Check out the brand new documentary on Amazon Prime called New Orleans Politics. It's a documentary film about the population of New Orleans. It talks about why there's so many black people there, but they control the bare minimum of the economic resources. Why does this phenomenon exist? Why is it that people who have no credit history come to the country and are able to open businesses and thrive, while a lot of the native New Orleans do not get to have those same opportunities? Check out this in-depth documentary called New Orleans Politics. It is conducted by my brother, Tyrese McKnight. You can get it on Amazon Prime right now. Hey, black nerds out there, are you tired of nerdy platforms that refuse to acknowledge white supremacy and geek culture? Do you seek a black nerd podcast that not only covers nerdy topics such as anime, video games, movies, and TV shows, but also subjects that only black nerds can relate to? If so, then head on over to the world's first and only black nerd empowerment podcast, The Swarthy Nerd, at swarthynerd.com. Join the host, TV Guru, and Yuki the Snowman every Tuesday on their mission to provide information and empowerment to black nerds everywhere. Again, that's the Swarthy Nerd at swarthynerd.com. Swarthy is spelled S-W-A-R-T-H-Y nerd.com. Are you looking for intellectual discussions on topics ranging from dating, love, relationships to politics, white supremacy, and economics? Then tune in to the Great Liberators Radio Show on YouTube on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. and Sundays at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Great Liberators Radio Show has great, sophisticated black intellectualism that you do not want to miss. So be sure to go subscribe to their YouTube channel, The Great Liberators Radio Show, right now. Check out the book Jennifer's Chaos. This is a romance crime novel by author Robert Fletcher. Jennifer's Chaos is about a young woman who lives with her drug-dealing manipulative mother, who arranges a marriage between Jennifer and a young man with connections. This is a very intriguing story, so you need to get the book and follow Jennifer as she navigates around her mother and criminals to find love. Jennifer's Chaos, available right now on Amazon as an ebook and paperback.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail, or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave a little blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I say, whoever threw that paper, your mom's a hoe.
What's up, guys? We're back. We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, this music is sexy. Hold on. Oh, I'm putting on the sexy late night music right now. Where are the ladies at? I hope it's a bunch of ladies in the room. Hold on. Uh-oh. Hold on. Let me get on my... Hey, what's happening? Are there any ladies out here in Radio Land? Are there any ladies? Bend over, baby, bend over. Don't you ever feel no pain? Bend over, baby, bend over. Baby, bend over. Ooh, baby, don't you feel no pain? Bend over. I had to put some echo on y'all ass. Ooh, baby. Bend over. Now, I don't want no niggas out there bending over. This ain't for pussy tonight. Ooh. Anyway, shit, I had to just rock that for a minute. Shit. Oh, that track is smooth. Bend over. Yeah, go get Peanut. I gotta go in the house, see what Peanut's doing. Shit. With something that smooth. Man, how y'all doing, man? We're here, man. Glad to have y'all tuning in. It's late, but I'm here. Shit. I'm here. I've been running around all week, man, just getting stuff together. You know, we still got the quarantine. They extended this damn bullshit. The quarantine, you know, they were supposed to let up out here today in L.A., on the 15th, and they were like, well, no, nigga, y'all got a few more months of this. So I'm like, shit. So we're making it do what it do. So, you know, I had to get out the house with the family today and stuff like that. And by the way, the Foundational Black American Conference, that has been pushed back to September 19th. We're going to push it to September 19th because these quarantine orders, they were supposed to let up now. They're pushing in and extending these things all over the country. So to play it safe, we're just pushing it back to the 19th. You know, we had a group discussion with the venue, the Georgia Congress Center, and they were very accommodating. We wanted to have it in June, but they were saying there's going to be, if we did it in June, they would have to have the 6 feet bullshit and they couldn't have all the theater seating. And it was a whole bunch of stuff that I'm like, we're not going to compromise all that. So it's just going to be best that we push it to September. So September 19th is the date. So we're going to be good to go. Everything is still the same. All the vendors, I'm going to holler at my vendors. I'll holler at you guys this weekend to give you guys some more details. So everything is still the same. Just the date has changed. It's on the 19th of September. That's a Saturday. All the speakers have been notified. Most of them. I still got to hit my man RZA and Boyce and all my family. So we're still having it. It's still going to be this fall, which is cool. Everything should be hopefully semi-normal by then. So we should be good to go. So everybody will be good. Y'all come on down September. Yeah, this coronavirus thing. I know this shit is a bummer. Oh, man, it's a bummer, man. And just being on lockdown, it makes you stir crazy. With me, man, I be feeling like I'm losing my mind. It takes a toll on you, man. You know, as much as I like to travel and you know, hop on planes and go places, you know, that shit got you stuck in the house. It's like you're on house arrest. You know, this is why these white supremacists are out here in the streets acting a damn fool. They really don't like being locked down. But, oh yeah, D, shout out to D-Tub. And D, I sent you an email to be a moderator on and an administrator on the new FBA Times site. For those who don't know, we have a brand new news site called FBATimes.com. That is the first and only news site dedicated to media concerning foundational Black Americans. And boy, we go in on that site. It's an extension of Melanoid Nation. See, Melanoid Nation is more politically correct. The FBA Times site, we go for the jugular. We be exposing these white supremacists left and right. If you go on there, we're naming and showing images of those race soldiers who barged into that sister's house out there in Louisville, Breonna Taylor. They barged in that sister's house and killed her. And her boyfriend shot back and shot one of them damn race soldiers. And they ended up charging that brother with attempted murder. And the Honorable Olu Stevens, the judge out there, he said, look, we're going to take that bail away and just let this brother go home on home confinement. They had like $250,000 bail. The judge said, nah, we ain't doing all that, and let the guy go home until the trial. And those white supremacists are mad as hell. Shout out to Olu Stevens in Kentucky. If there are any Black people in Kentucky, y'all protect Judge Olu Stevens at all costs. Y'all understand me? It's very rare that we get a rider like that brother right there. It's very rare that we get non-coon judges out there. That brother's a rider. Judge Olu Stevens is a rider, man. And those white supremacists hate him because he upholds the law. And we did a story on the FBA Times site talking about how Black judges are punished and reprimanded for following the damn law. When Black judges practice the law fairly, the white supremacists want to cry foul. See, the white supremacists hate fairness. See, we got to be careful about the words. When you start talking about fair and equal around white supremacists, those are negative terms. Black people, when you get around white supremacists talking about fair inequality, those are negative terms. Everything about their culture is about unfairness and everything being unequal. The minute things become fair and equal, they go on alert. See, we got to get off that thing where we want to just be fair and equal. Damn that. We got to be in the mindset where we want to be in a dominant position where they can't harm us. That's where I'm at. That's why I go in on their ass so much without any fear. Fuck all that nice guy, let's hold hands and be kumbaya. We need to be in a position where these white supremacists can't harm us at their damn disposal. And fuck asking them about it. We got to be bold with that. Ain't nobody playing games like that. And boy, the white supremacists are already mad. Boy, they're so mad they be trying to troll. Because we go in. We start naming names and we call it what it is. Suspected white supremacist suspect. We go in on that site. So y'all check out fbatimes.com, ladies and gentlemen. And we still gonna keep going in. But today's topic, what I want to talk about, we want to talk about how outsiders start to rewrite our history. And this is why it's important that we have our own media outlets. This is why we have our own news outlets, which is what we're doing. This is why we have our own film outlets. This is what we have. And we need to continue that thing. And everybody has to support that when we have black folks really doing things in an empowerment position. Because the white supremacists, like I said, nothing is going to be fair or equal when it comes to us. Everything has to be tacky. As our brother Neely Fuller says, the relationship with the white supremacists, it gets no better than tacky. It's tacky, terroristic. What's the other T? He said there's three T's. It's tacky, terroristic, and what's the other T, guys? There's another T that Neely Fuller says. He calls it the three T's. Somebody in the room help me. I know we, trashy, yes. Trashy, terroristic, and tacky, which is absolutely true. Our relationship with the white supremacists, it's always terroristic, trashy, and tacky. And it never gets any better than tacky. Anytime we're included with what they have going on, it's terroristic, trashy, tacky. Whenever they say, let's have some black representation around white women, what do they get? They always get an overweight black woman in comparison to the model-esque white women. See, that's trashy. And then they try to palm the trashiness off as if they're doing something empowering. There's a show that I like, very good show called Good Girls. Me and my wife really like that show. And they got these little slender white women on here, and they got one black woman on there, just big, huge black woman. And she, the sister's a very good actress, by the way, the black woman. But just that image, they always have to show that image. They always got to get a Gabby Sidibe or Mammy type. That's a trashy relationship. That's trashy. And whenever the white supremacists do films about our history, notice they always put some trashy, tacky bullshit in it. When they did the movie about Madam C.J. Walker, they had to crowbar her daughter being in a lesbian relationship and all this stuff, putting in this fiction for their own agenda. See, that's trashy. That's trashy when you do that. When you get our history and you want to dump trash and be tacky with our history. In the Harriet movie, it was tacky to get a non-foundational black American actress who has contempt for foundational black Americans. That's Cynthia Erivo. That was tacky enough. But what made that movie extra trashy was the bigger long character that they crowbarred in. And it was played by my friend. I know the brother, very good brother, by the way. But the character was janky and trashy. They crowbarred a coon up in there, bucking his eyes. Come on, bitch, I'll kill you. They crowbarred a fictional character as the enemy instead of the white man. They created a fictional male character as the enemy. See, that's trashy and tacky. Now they have a a series on Showtime about the white abolitionist John Brown. It's called The Good Lord Bird. I think that's the name of it. It's on Showtime. And Ethan Hawke is playing John Brown. If you're looking at the screenshot, this is a screenshot of the series. Now, I have not seen the series, but just the premise of it is already problematic. Now, John Brown was a white man who was one of the few white men who realized how wrong slavery was. And instead of just being an opportunistic abolitionist, which most of them white abolitionists were, let's be very clear. Most of those white abolitionists were opportunists, and they were conning the game, and they were playing both sides of the fence. You know how Neely Fuller says the white supremacists take both sides? Remember, family, slavery in America was a northern phenomenon. They try to dump all of it on the South. Slavery started in the northern states, up there in Boston, hell, in New York. They still have slave plantations in New York, Pennsylvania. Them damn pilgrims were slave owners. I mean, it was a whole bunch of slave owners all up there in the eastern seaboard. It was a northern phenomenon. And it was the northerners who sold black people to the southerners. They were running it out of the north. Wall Street. That's where they would have slaves lined up selling them on Wall Street. The first stocks and bonds were black people. So the northerners, after they sold black people to the southerners, they turned around and said, hey, this slavery thing is kind of wrong. So send us some money, everybody around the country. Send us money so we can, that'll help our humanitarian efforts to stop slavery. And the South was like, hey, hold on. You sold him to us. What are you talking about? So they felt like they were hypocrites. So that was part of the whole Civil War thing too. They were like, hey, you guys are hypocritical as hell. You sold me these niggas. And now you making more money talking about how bad it is? So they were running a con game. It was a big con game. But you had people like John, or a person, because it wasn't too many people like John Brown, who actually led a revolt. He said, fuck it. We're going to go out here and I'm going to arm my family, and we're going to go out here and go after these slave owners, and we're going to stop this thing. Now, most niggas were scared. He tried to get Frederick Douglass to get down with him, and Frederick Douglass kind of started bucking his eyes. So when John Brown eventually got killed, and, you know, they've always tried to portray him as a maniac. And in this show, I've seen the commercials, this show on Showtime, they got him seeming like he's some kind of psychopath. They got him, they're portraying him as crazy. So they're kind of sending a message here. White man who wants freedom for black people, you must be crazy. You must be insane. So they got him kind of acting crazy, being out there. And in this Showtime show, they done created another fictional black character. Now, when they start creating these fictional characters, oh, it's time to watch out. When they do that, we know here comes the bullshit. So what they did, they got a black boy who's basically John Brown's sidekick in the movie. The boy's name is Onion. And, you know, Onion, that's what you call a woman's ass, by the way. But we'll overlook that. Onion is the name. We call a woman's ass Onion. Look at that onion booty, whatever. But I'll overlook that. So the black boy's name is Onion. But in the novel that this movie is, or the show is supposed to be based off of, the John Brown character rescued the boy, but he thought he was a girl. And the boy never corrected him, so John Brown gave him a dress to wear. So now this black boy is running around behind the strong, manly white man, and the black boy is running around with a goddamn dress on. family, they keep crowbarring this LGBT thing with us, this buck broken image of black folks. They love to get our history and buck break us after the fact. So this black boy is running around in a damn dress. Some black boy who didn't even exist. There was no black boy running around with John Brown in a goddamn dress. But this is how desperate these people are to create a non-gendered image of black people. See, they want us to be ungendered. So they want to keep pushing and promoting this to help us potentially stop procreating. They want to keep driving this in our heads. It's best to be ungendered. Don't be a man. Because if you're a man, you might be part of the warrior class in your society, and we don't need that. Put that dress on. Now, a kid watching this, you don't understand history. You say, okay, well, if my ancestors wore dresses and they were men, I guess it's okay for me to do it. Because a lot of kids, if they're watching this, they're not going to really read into the real history of it. And in the movie, they're not really telling you that this is a fictional ass character that they made up. So again, they're trying to poison the minds. This is why we got to fight back on this stuff. They're always trying to do this. Just like with Malcolm X, remember how the white supremacists kept getting their Negro stooges and they kept going out here trying to create this narrative that Malcolm X was gay or bisexual. They kept promoting that damn lie. You know, it pops up every few years. They always do that. They always have to change and try to sully our history. So it's very important that we create our own media apparatus and fight back on this. This is why knowing history is very important. But white men who actually spoke out or fought against systematic white supremacy, they bury those guys. You don't really hear too much about them. John Brown has become so prominent throughout history because over in Haiti, they got a street named after John Brown. Because I think John Brown was actually inspired by the Haitian Revolution. I know when I went to Haiti over there in Port-au-Prince, there was a street named John Brown. You understand? See, they don't like to show white people who said, hey, this is some bullshit right here. They like to bury that. There was another white man in the late 1800s. He was over there in Africa, Joseph Booth. Many of you never heard of him. He was another white man who actually spoke out against colonialism. He spoke out against the missionaries. Joseph Booth, he was over there in Southern Africa, in different parts of Africa, speaking out against the missionaries there. This white man was telling the Africans, hey, these missionaries, these white people, you can't trust them, guys. Now look, I know they're running game on you. I know they're talking sweet. They're talking about Jesus, but I'm white and I'm telling you they can't be trusted. And as John Henry Clark talks about, he said that the African people asked Joseph Booth, they said, well, damn, if white people can't be trusted, can we trust you? And to their surprise, he was like, hell no, you can't trust me either. This is why I'm telling you, we can't be trusted, especially them. This was a very honest white man. A lot of Africans didn't want to listen. In fact, the Joseph Booth guy, he was the one who actually came up with the term Africa for the Africans. Actually, he came up with that slogan, which Marcus Garvey got later. He got that slogan, put his own twist on it, and he took ownership of that. But Marcus Garvey actually got that from Joseph Booth, a white man. A white man knew Africa has to be for Africans. Letting these white people up in here, black people, I just have to clear my conscience. These folks, it's going to be a disaster. It's going to be a disaster. And he was telling the damn truth. Everybody hit the like button, by the way. Hit the like button. that's why I say every blue moon, you might get an honest white supremacist who will give up the funk. Every blue moon, and I'm not trying to bestow any type of special privileges, but I'm telling you this, who you really can't trust, and I talked about this the other day, you cannot trust older white women. If you want to see white supremacy in its purest form, it's older white women who are some of the biggest white supremacists. Nigga, if I had to go in a room by myself with somebody and I had a choice between a racist white man and a racist white woman, I'd take my chances with the racist white man. Them Susans, and I broke that down the other day, talking about the three different types, the stages that white women go through. The Becky, which is the young, these are the young white women that always has a black dick in their mouths. Those Beckys are always up on brothers, but then those Beckys turn into Karens. Around 30, between like 30 to 50, they turn into Karens. You know, life gets a little harder. Those looks start to fade away. They become more reliant on systematic white supremacy because, remember, the white women, they don't really have skills like that. And then from 50 to death, then they become a Susan. They become a good, hardened, hardcore white supremacist female. And their only job is to sit up and maintain the system of white supremacy. These are the people that you see constantly on the phone calling the police on black people. That is their job. I'm looking at my phone now. There are some Karens on the Ring app. I got the Ring app talking about, I hear gunshots. I swear to God, every day. I got the Ring app, and on Ring, that's an app that's on your phone. You can see who's at your door, and also it gives you notifications about what's going on in your neighborhood. And every single day, it's a bunch of Karens talking about they hear goddamn gunshots. Every day, if they hear a bird chirp, oh my God, it's a gunshot. Did you guys hear that? These people wallow in paranoia. You understand? But this is why we have to understand history. And speaking of Marcus Garvey, I was on my Instagram Live earlier. It didn't save. My Instagram Live didn't save. There's some stuff going on with the Instagram Live. But we're talking about the new site, Foundation of Black Americans, FBA Times, and somebody brought up Marcus Garvey. Somebody was like, they always like to throw up Marcus Garvey. When we talk about Foundation of Black Americans, that's not to, you know, denigrate anybody else. We're just talking about us. Every time we talk about us, people have to pretend that we're denigrating somebody else. I was telling people about the FBA Times site and somebody jumped in. Well, Marcus Garvey, he came over to America and brought everybody together. Okay. I really wish people, especially from the Caribbean, stop trying to pull Marcus Garvey out your ass. Okay. Even John Henry Clark said, if Marcus Garvey was alive today, he still couldn't get nothing popping in the damn Caribbean. Where are my Caribbean people? I'm talking to you tonight. I'm not shitting on you, but we're going to talk history tonight. Marcus Garvey couldn't get none done. He couldn't get nothing done in the Caribbean, guys. He couldn't. And he couldn't even, he wouldn't be able to do it today. He wouldn't be. These are facts. He couldn't get it popping. He tried to get it popping in the Caribbean. He could not. In fact, many of some of the great thought leaders out of the Caribbean coming out of the 19th century, they really couldn't get anything popping in those Caribbean countries. The legendary Prince Hall, who started the Prince Hall Masons, he's from Barbados. He couldn't get nothing popping in Barbados, but he had to come here and get it popping around Foundation of Black Americans. Now, why did those brothers have to leave the Caribbean to get stuff popping over here among foundational Black Americans. Why did they have to come here? What went down in the Caribbean? See, we got to talk about this because we still see this energy now coming out of the Caribbean. You dig? What happened? Because remember, in the Caribbean, this was a place that had a lot of successful slave revolts. You had some of the best riders against white supremacy out there in the Caribbean. Haiti, Jamaica, you had those Maroons putting in work. Even in some of the Virgin Islands, you had a lot of fighters out there. But what happened? What made the mindset different there than here? I'm gonna tell you what happened. This is the thing. In the Caribbean, the British and the French, as John Henry Clark said, they were more classy with their subjugation. Also, what they would do in the Caribbean that was not done here, they created these mulatto buffer classes out there in the Caribbean. We don't have a mulatto buffer class here. Now, we got some bougie light-skinned niggas, but in white supremacist society, they treat bougie light-skinned niggas like everybody else over here. You understand? Let's be very clear. No matter how light, dark, mixed mulatto you are, all Black people over here in the United States are always treated the damn same. Always. There is no mulatto privilege or none of that shit out here. In fact, the light-skinned niggas were the most feared because they were like, these niggas might try to sneak in some of their nigga genes. So over here, we were all in the same boat, and we knew we were all in the same boat. So light-skinned people and dark-skinned people all got treated the same over and still do. When you see Black folks out here getting shot and beat up in the street, you see light skin, dark skin, high yellow, jet black. All of us get treated the same out here. They have the one drop rule out here and they enforce that. If you had a little bit of black, if your hair had a little kink in it, you getting treated like the rest of those niggas. So we were under no illusion. In the Caribbean, it is very different. You got them buffer classes out there that white people actually treat a little different. When you go to the Caribbean, when you see some of the store owners, some of the business owners, it's usually the lighter skin or the mixed guys who look like Kamala Harris's family. Whenever I go to the Caribbean, you have these Coleys, these mixed people running all the businesses, and you have the dark purebreds out there in the streets. That's all over the Caribbean. You understand? So it was that buffer class. See, yeah, somebody in the room made a good point. The French and the Spanish, they acknowledged their children. So they gave their children certain privileges and benefits. Now they still, okay, you're still a nigga. You're still not quite white, but I'm not gonna have you fall to the full nigga status. So we'll have you in between. We'll give you some privileges here and there. We'll give you a few privileges. You see? And that mentality is all over the Caribbean. See, a lot of the darker folks, they attain to be, if they can't be white, hell, at least go for mulatto. So the colorism thing is real heavy out there. That's why, you know, they'll give more props to Bob Marley than Garvey. That's why Bob Marley is such a hero out there. Because Bob Marley was mixed with white. His dad was white. And Bob Marley was very talented. I'm not saying that brother wasn't talented. Let's be very clear. He's a very talented brother. But let's look at the Haitian Revolution. Even in the Haitian Revolution, the people who fucked everything up afterwards, it was them damn mulattoes. That mulatto class was messing everything up, undermining the other people. You understand? So the thing is with foundational Black Americans, this is why we've been so consistent against systematic white supremacy, because other people, even in Africa and the Caribbean, again, they have those little mulatto buffer classes that the whites treat a little different. So that puts everybody under these illusions. And let's go back to Haiti for a second, because they fucked up with treating all of the Black people the same. We talked about this in the movie 1804. They had their buffer class during the Haitian Revolution. You had the, I think it's the Blanc, some shit, they, I forgot the name, but you had the free colored people, and then you had the Blacks. And when Rochambeau, the French general who was very cruel, he went over there and started treating the mulattoes just like the regular Black folks. And then that made the Black people and the mulattoes get together against the French. So they made a mistake by doing that. And a lot of them learn from their mistakes. They say, hey, we can't pull that Rochambeau shit again by treating all these niggas the same over here on these islands, because these islands are very small and they can raise up on our ass. So we gotta get these little buffer classes and keep them satisfied. So these buffer classes, before the white, before these niggas can get to us, they gotta go through these mulattoes, and these mulattoes will fight harder than us to keep their little mulatto privileges. You understand? And let's go over there to Africa. Over there in Africa, they tell them, well, you're not really a slave. You know, you've been colonized, but now you're free. See, you're not colonized no more. You're free now. You can do whatever you want to do. Now, even though we control all the mineral resources on your land, and we control your economics, we control your banking, but you're free. Look, on this piece of paper, you got your independence. And you're totally free. You got your president, who's in our back pocket, by the way. And if he goes out of line, we'll send a jackal in there and kill his ass. But you got your own little nigger president. You're free. You got your nigger politician. So, I mean, you're free people. So they believe that they're actually free. You understand? Not realizing that the white supremacists sabotage them at every turn over there. But over here, see, Black folks, we dealt with the worst white supremacists out of Europe. Over here, we got the worst of the worst. So that made us stay on top of our game. Remember, see, they dropped some of the more refined white supremacists over there off in the Caribbean. You had some refined white supremacists out there, you know, the pretty beaches and all that. They wanted some of that prime real estate. But over here in the United States, they sent their prisoners, their drunks, their gamblers, their degenerates. And that's who we've had to deal with. We had to deal with the worst of the white supremacists, the worst of what Europe has to offer. So we were never under any illusion that these people are not the business and we're victims of these folks. We're not under any illusions because of that. You understand? So this is why psychologically we're built a little bit different. So we got to watch certain people. See, we got to watch these coons that they send in to try to dump on us now. This is why we got to be careful about the Candace Owenses and all the Officer Brandon Tatum. I see a lot of Black folks trying to debate with these folks. And again, these are Negroes with Caribbean backgrounds, especially Candace Owens. And that woman has contempt for foundational Black Americans. The white supremacists know this. This is why they elevate her. Black folks, learn how to deal with the Candace Owens types. These people are professional trolls. I really hate, because Black people be sending me shit on Candace Owens and Brandon Tatum. Please don't send me nothing about these folks. Man, did you hear what Brandon Tatum said, man? Did you hear what Candace Owens said? Yes, dude. Don't buy into the Candace Owens con game. family, Candace Owens, that's a con game. These people are elevated by white think tanks. These white think tanks write a script, get these Negroes to run out here and start saying a whole bunch of anti-black gibberish that they know is bullshit. And it gets black people riled up and we start talking about them and we start wasting fucking time. Please stop falling for the Candace Owens hustle. That's a waste of time. That's the white supremacist. She's a puppet for the white supremacists. Her arguments, you don't debate her because she's arguing in bad faith. You don't get into bad faith arguments with people. You don't get in arguments with people who are paid to troll you. She's saying anything, knowing it don't make no sense. And even if you debunk her, what do you get out of it? Number one, they get the Candace Owens's out here because Candace has no type of credibility with nobody. She's one of these people who's a crash dummy. So even if you debate her and destroy her credibility, she has none. That's the great thing about the white supremacists using her. She has zero credibility with black people or white people. White people know she's full of shit, but they sit around and fake support her because she says anti-black shit. Understand how white supremacists are. They're very deceptive. They fake support niggas. You're dealing with a troll who's saying shit she knows is bullshit. She don't believe none of that stuff she's saying. And the whole purpose is to waste your time. She gets out here saying stupid shit. You waste your time arguing with her, mad. And the white supremacists sit back chilling because you're not focusing. What you need to focus on is stopping these white supremacists from harming you. Your focus should be on these white supremacists and getting these people off your ass, not arguing with their sock puppet Negroes. You can't argue with a person who's sitting up deliberately lying and they know they're lying. It's a waste of time. Please stop arguing with trolls like Candace Owens. Even if you debunk her, you don't win anything. You don't gain anything. Understand, the white supremacists are very deceptive. And I made a tweet the other day how white people, for the most part, and this is something that black folks have to understand, don't be fooled by all that fake Blue Lives Matter and, oh, we support our proud police family. Nobody hates police more than white people. That's a secret that y'all need to understand, black people. White people hate the police. That's a major secret that black folks don't understand. White people cannot stand the police. The only reason they fake, like, or support the police is when they're harming us. That is the only thing that white people like about the police, with no exceptions. White people do not like anything else about the police. They don't like the police around. They don't like the police in their neighborhoods. They don't like the police talking to them. This is why white people be shooting the police all the time. 90% of the police murders where cops get shot is white people killing them. White people hate the damn police. They only fake support them when they're beating our asses. That's the only time they start talking that Blue Lives Matter shit. White people are always cursing the cops out, telling them to get the hell out of my face. That's why you never see the police in white neighborhoods playing basketball and doing all those PR stunts that they do in the hood. You always see the cops going to the ghetto, playing basketball with niggas and doing all these PR stunts. You don't ever see them doing that with white people. If a cop was out there playing basketball with white people would be like, get your ass out of my neighborhood, buddy. They'd run the cops out of there. Yeah, look at an episode of Cops, that old TV show. White people hate the damn police with a passion. You be very clear. And the police know that a white person will bring it to that ass. White people been running around the country with their guns, going to state buildings. Man, Michigan, over in Michigan, they had to close their Capitol building. I think it was yesterday. Because the white supremacists were going to go back up there with their guns because they've been out here threatening state leaders and representatives. These white supremacists are threatening to kill white people in office, and they had to shut the state building down. But black folks, especially in New York, out here getting smacked up, beat up, jumped on. You understand? So we got to be careful out here. And I saw a video of a sister. She was coming out the subway and the race soldiers attacked her. She had a little baby with her. She had a little son with her. They beating this woman and handcuffing her, roughing her up, throwing her on the ground because she had her mask on the wrong way. Just racial targeting. See, they know who to target. And when they know you're not going to do anything, this is when they really turn it up. When they know you're not going to do anything, they really turn it up. But they know these white people out here with these guns, these white people will come see them. They know better. So these white people are getting bold with certain black folks. Out there in North Carolina is a white man named Jordan Keita, who was a deputy. He got fired. He has some biracial adopted daughters. One of them ran away, possibly because of whatever's going on in that damn house. She ran away. Poor child. We need to be investigating what's going on in that house where the damn child ran away from this piece of filth. So this suspected white supremacist went out and got a damn lynch mob of other armed white men and started going to people's houses. They went to a black kid's house and tried to force their way in. They literally tried to go to somebody's house on some lynch mob shit. And he just got fired and he got charged. And let me let y'all hear the press. He didn't do a press conference, but he's sitting up here with his lawyer. He did a video where he's at home with his lawyer, and his lawyer is up here white-splaining. Hold on one second. Let me turn off the sexy music real quick. But this is this Jordan Keita. And let me tell you something. He should have gotten all that damn work, by the way, running up in somebody's house like that. He should have got all that damn work. But this is him and his lawyer splaining. Hold on one second.
Racism has no place in our society.
Okay, that's the lawyer, and he's talking all that dumb shit. Racism. This is not about race. When they start talking about that, just mayonnaise splaining.
And this story is not about racism.
Yes, it is.
This story is about a family, the Keita family, looking for their teenager, their troubled teenager. Race should have no part of this story. But since it does, it's important to know that Mr. Keita, Mrs. Keita, and Jordan have three biracial children, and for Jordan, three biracial siblings.
Okay, he just said it wasn't about, okay, this ain't about race. It's not about race. Race has nothing to do with this story, but they got three biracial kids. Well, damn it, you just said race ain't got nothing to do with it. The fuck you talking about? You just said race don't have nothing to do with it. So why the hell are you talking about the biracial kids who ran away, obviously because of what's going on in that damn house?
This particular evening, one of the siblings was missing, and Jordan was called to come help his sibling. The stories that have been put out there by Mr. Lee about this family are slanderous, defamatory, and disgusting. Make no mistake, this case is not about race.
Okay, he's just white-splaining the whole time, talking about, this ain't about race, it's not about race, let's not make it about race. It is about race, goddammit. It is about race. And you're not going to be able to use the I'm white and I say so defense. So this is why we got to start taking the lead on everything. And black folks, we put up an article today on FBA Times asking a very good question. Why are black people so afraid to say, hey, look, we're being racially targeted out here? We need to be saying that in a unified drumbeat. Black folks, we're being racially targeted out here. There's an anti-black war. We have to say that shit very loud so that we can get on point. Because see, black folks get scared to say shit. Because I think black folks don't want to appear to be weak or appear to be victims. No. We are being victimized. These people are systematically targeting our ass. We need to say that, at least to ourselves, so that we can get the hell up and do something about it. We got to be very real about what's happening to us out here. These white supremacists are coming at us very heavy. Say it loud, dude. These folks have an anti-black war waged against us down there in Houston. They done shot two brothers this week. One brother was a gospel singer. Another brother, they just ran up on a couple of brothers, and the brother didn't want to lay on the ground. They tried to get him to lay on the ground, and they just executed him. So this thing is getting heavy. See, black folks, we better understand warfare. Stop arguing with these race soldiers. See, we out here playing games in these fucking streets. Where y'all out there playing games. People out here playing games. Ain't no time for that stupid shit. Trying to argue and yell and negotiate with these folks. We way past that, man. We got to stop that. And again, look, I posted a video a couple of days ago out here in LA. Some race soldiers showed up on the block. They went up there in a blood hood. This was a couple of days ago, and the Bloods ran their ass right on up out of there. They went down there to try to check people on some social distancing. The Bloods was like, get the fuck off this set. And the Bloods start hitting them with some water guns, but those were just warnings. And the police knew. They got more than water guns. And the cops left. They ran them up off the block. Because they knew how fast and quickly that could have turned into something else. They knew. You understand? They knew. Because remember the last time, the riot, the LA riot, when they beat Rodney King, you know, we said that was the last straw. And what happened was the city of LA got a $1 billion bill. The LA riots in 1992 cost the city of Los Angeles over $1 billion. This is 1992. So what was $1 billion worth then, worth now? Well, that's probably like $20 billion in today's money. This was almost 30 years ago. They learned a lesson. So this is why they think twice before they do something, before they get a little too bold. They think twice. Because they know people out here don't give a shit and they'll go there. You understand? They don't want another $1 billion bill with other bodies laying in the street. Yeah. See, there's repercussions. They beat Rodney King and a bunch of dead bodies start sprawling the street afterwards in retaliation. And a $1 billion bill came through. So you can't deal with too many $1 billion bills. That'll destroy your whole city. You understand? So we got to understand the game. Also, you know, I've been seeing some stuff lately where these essays out here are making little videos kind of low-key threatening black folks. And there's other people from other cities. I know there's a lot of y'all who don't really understand the politics of Los Angeles. Some of you guys are from other cities. Y'all never really been out here. And there's a misconception. I'm not sure where this misconception is coming from, that the essays are running LA. You know, I saw somebody on Vlad. I don't know if niggas are listening to Vlad's show or whatever, but there's a misconception that the essays run LA and that black folks are subservient to essays out here. Family, I don't know who y'all been talking to, who lied to you. That ain't true. I don't know where y'all getting that bullshit from? But the essays ain't really running brothers like that out here, especially no certifieds. You don't see no essays really running up on no certifieds out here. I ain't talking about a bunch of essays mobbing on like a 13-year-old or an elderly person. That's, you know, that's sucker shit. You don't see nobody, them essays out here fucking with no damn certifieds. Yeah, I guess they looked at those Friday movies, you know, looking at Craig and Day-Day get hemmed up by essays. Nah, it ain't like that, bruh. Y'all stop believing that. They don't really fuck with no certifieds out here. They really don't. They really don't. Y'all stop believing that. Yeah? Yeah, some of those movies then gave some misconceptions. Yeah, them essays ain't got hands like that. If it ain't 100 of them mobbing on like one or two people, nah, don't believe the hype, guys. They ain't really running up on no certified brothers like that, period. So don't get that shit twisted. But, and this ain't, because I was talking about this earlier, and people be like, oh, that's being divisive. Now, you got to be together to be divided. I'm just telling you history. I'm just telling you some shit based on history. And there is no black-brown coalition. The essays and these guys have always been clicked in with the Aryans and the neo-Nazis. They've always been clicked in with them. As a matter of fact, part of Mexican culture starting in the 1920s, some of the aristocratic Mexicans were talking eugenics and talking about La Raza. That whole La Raza bullshit started in the 1920s when they wanted to whiten up the race and erase their African background. That's when that La Raza, meaning the race, that's when all that shit started. They were always on some shit trying to be clicked in with the Nazis, going all the way back to the 1920s and 30s. Do some real research about Mexican history, guys. You know, and then you get a few of them out here, you know, they first they'll try to identify with Spanish culture, but they understand you go to Spain, they're going to look at you as like, okay, get your little dark ass out of here, because they're not accepted in Spain. They're not accepted as Spanish by the Spanish. They know that. So they might try to go I've heard a couple of the essays say we're like Aztec warriors. And you're not an Aztec warrior either. No, you're not. Aztec warriors were little bitty black folks with dreadlocks. You go down to Mexico and look at some of those old paintings, those old bone impact paintings. These black ass Mayans and Aztecs had woolly hair, dreadlocks, and the whole nine. So a lot of people who are Hispanic out here are really searching for an identity. There's an identity confusion going on there. So they latch on to a lot of shit. They've been latching on to the black-brown coalition, which is basically us carrying them. Black people have carried all of these groups for the longest. That's all we do is carry groups. We got to stop that bullshit. Yeah, La Raza is basically them talking about whitening up the race, basically erasing their African background. 80% of Mexican people, we already know about the Dominicans, the Puerto Ricans, all the Caribbeans, but over in Mexico, they go out of their way to act like what a gang of black folks over there. 80% of people who are Mexican, their family has African background. They come from African slave roots. And they know it. They know their abuela has a little afro sitting down there in to Tijuana. You understand? So we got to watch stuff. See, well, this is why it's important that we understand history. This is why we got to understand history. And again, with the shit, between the 1920s and 1968, those Hispanic groups out here in the United States, they were openly talking about they're European, they're white. We ain't with the blacks. the Negro's problems are not our problems. They were openly telling us to hold our own nuts. Right until we start getting those civil rights bills passed and we start getting those immigration bills passed for everybody, then all of a sudden, we in this together. Then we were in this together when they got some benefits out of it. Once they got the benefits out of it, fuck the niggers. Then it was fuck the niggers again. So I'm like, what? Run what? What they running? You know, when somebody say the essays are running, running what? Everything they got, we done helped them get. Run what? Everything you got, we help you get. Not running anything. We're the only ones who turned the fuck up. For real, for real. Even during the riots in 92. Let's go back to that. It was black folks putting in all the damn work. And what you saw on television was a bunch of Mexicans looting shit. While we were turning up, they were out there, let's get the VCR. They were getting all the goodies. You know, on our side temporarily, because they saw us turning up and they didn't want none of that damn smoke. So they got with it. Well, we love Malcolm X. No, what Malcolm X is Rodney King. Oh, my bad. You know, they didn't know who the hell got beat up. They beat up Regina King. No, motherfucker, it was Rodney King. They didn't know whose ass got whooped. They were just, we get some free shit. Yeah? And they got some act right. They were on. We were in this together again when we started turning up. Now we were in this together again. And another thing y'all got to notice too, whenever riots go on, and I noticed this, and several riots and several uprisings. Because an uprising is very, very, you know, when people turn up, you know, that's a very dangerous thing. Because the tides can turn. You don't know how hard they can turn up, how long they're gonna turn up. You know, that's a very dangerous thing. Because, see, they prefer people just kind of tear up a little property here and there. But in the L.A. riots, people are out here killing white people. That's the thing that really bothered them. And another thing that a lot of folks don't notice, whenever these riots pop off, the first thing the race soldiers do, they start protecting the banks. I remember in 92, they would always have the tanks and the National Guard posted up by the banks. Right, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, they would always have them posted up at banks. I remember going down to Ferguson when the whole Mike Brown thing popped off. And I went down there and I'm looking around, seeing what's going on. And they had the National Guard, all the tanks up there protecting Bank of America. They'd be parked right outside of banks. Because whenever there's an uprising, usually the victor, you know, they start getting the resources of the people that they're uprising against. So they start hitting them banks, getting that money, going to the gold reserves. That's when the white supremacists start protecting that first. They start protecting the financial institutions. Yeah, the spoils of war. You know, they start protecting those financial institutions. So, you know, they don't mind niggas running out here going to the Nike store and all that dumb shit, getting flat screen TVs. They don't mind that. That ain't nothing. They got all that insured. They're like, let's make sure they don't hit these banks. Yeah, the spoils of war, that's very important. That's how the Nazis had so much money. The Nazis were taking over all those different parts of Europe. And remember, when they took over, they were hitting them banks. When you take over the country, you take over the resources. So now Germany, they were inventing the Mercedes-Benz, the Volkswagen, and Louis Vuitton. All that came out of Nazi Germany. Hugo Boss, all of those brands that you see now, all of these big luxury brands, a lot of that came out of the Nazis. A lot of folks don't know that. And I talked about that before. Coco Chanel, she was clicked in with the Nazis. All those luxury, high fashion brands came out of the damn Nazis. Look up Hugo Boss and all those. I posted something about that on Twitter, or I think it was Instagram, one of them. Well, they took my damn post down. It was, I'm like, wait, this is history I'm talking. I'm like, wait, this is history. I'm talking history here. Yeah, Adidas, Puma. Yeah, Adi Dassler. That's who Adidas. He was a Nazi. They were making shoes for the Nazis. As a matter of fact, they made Jesse Owens shoes. That's when they started endorsing black folks. They say, wait a minute, we're racist, but hell, these niggas can make us some money. They made some Adidas. The Nazis made Adidas for Jesse Owens. And when Jesse was running loops around everybody, everybody in the world was like, what kind of shoes was that nigga wearing? And that's when Adidas got on the map. Adi Dassler, damn Nazi, him and his brother who made Puma. They were rivals. Yeah, man, the Nazis, a lot of shit came out of that because they had big money. The Nazis had big money because of the spoils of war. We got to understand that part of the game. Yeah? But like I said, man, a lot of folks try to piggyback on us. And not only piggyback on us, they try to get our history and try to rewrite our history. I saw something today and I retweeted. They were talking about the racism against Asian Americans. This is another way to pull a benign neglect game on black people. And they were talking about how Asians came over here and built the railroad. They try to promote that built the railroad lie. The Asians did not build the railroads. The Asians or the Chinese came over the late 1800s and expanded what was already built. Black people built the railroads in this country. And when the white supremacists say the Asians built it, they're doing that specifically to disrespect and erase foundational black Americans. Family, all the railroads on the East Coast and the South were all built by foundational black Americans. Hell, even some of the bridges that the railroads were on, some of them were designed by black people, like our brother Horace King was a black dude who was designing all of those damn sturdy bridges out there in the South. There was a black dude, a black slave named Horace King, designing these bridges. Black people were building these damn railroads. That's where the John Henry myth came from, the steel driving man. We had myths and legends about black folks and the hard work we were putting in building these damn railroads, these railroad songs that black folks used to sing and come up with. We have a long history. We're the backbone of the railroad system that we built for free. So, you know, they come in and try to spread their lies and propaganda and rewrite it. Somebody said the John Henry movie. I heard about it. I don't even want to. I'm going to be mad if I see it. I'm not going. I don't know if I'm going to watch it. I can already tell. The movie about John Henry. I don't even know if I want to do it, guys. I don't even know if I want to do it. Yeah, I've been working on the railroad. We had railroad songs. We damn near became synonymous with the railroads. You understand? Everything was already built. And the Asians came over here voluntarily because it was a come up, because it wasn't popping over there. So they came over here to get jobs. They wanted an aggrieved minority. If it was that bad, they could have took their ass back home. We're foundational black Americans. We don't go nowhere. This is our shit. When somebody say go back to Africa, we didn't come from Africa. In recent times, like 500 years ago, that don't count. Shit, we're a whole different culture now. Genetically, we're African, but when somebody say go back to Africa, no. We're foundational. There was no country before us. We always got to remind people of that. We didn't get brought to the United States. We created the United States. See, we got to know how to frame this stuff. Wait, is that John Henry movie? Is it on Netflix? And did they get the Rock playing John Henry? And I like The Rock, but nah, No. No. Is the Rock, the actor, the Rock playing John Henry? The John Henry movie. Oh, God. Oh, Terry Crews. It's Terry Crews. Okay, I know they were talking about The Rock playing John Henry. It's on Netflix. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Shout out to Terry Crews. Oh, Lord. I'm not going to speak bad about Terry Crews. Okay. I'm going to check the trail out and see what it says. Okay, I know they were talking about The Rock playing the John Henry character. I said, okay, that's not going. No, John Henry wasn't no racially mixed dude or the myth of John Henry. But again, like I said, man, it's up to us to speak our history. It's up to us to defend ourselves. It's up to us to produce justice. The price of freedom is death. It's just that simple. And, you know, sitting around letting these white supremacists abuse you, that's not how you live. Letting them abuse your children, that's not how you live. There's no honor in sitting around being abused. See, they try to tell you that by promoting the John Lewis's and tell you that it's okay to get in good trouble by getting beat up, and there's dignity in that. Dusting yourselves off after you got the shit kicked. No, 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 no. Ain't no dignity in that. No, we got to shut down the abuse. You were not created to be abused by these white supremacists. You always understand that. And again, anybody who harms your children, you have a God-given right to produce justice on your terms. There's a brother who's getting sentenced this week. Well, next week, on the 22nd, Brother Muhammad. This dude, he was up there in Fresno. This brother said, hey, I'm tired of racism. That dude went on a killing spree. He killed a whole bunch of white people. And he's in court like, yeah, okay, let's do it. And his defense was, hey, shit, I'm fucking tired of racism. I done had enough. And if I'm going to go down, I'm going to take some people with me. They're sentencing this brother this week. And this is what the system of white supremacy does to you. Yeah? Somebody said the John Henry show is bad. I can imagine. I can imagine. Yeah, Corey Ali Muhammad. That's the guy's name. Corey Ali Muhammad. They're sentencing him on the 22nd, which is next week. So that's going to be interesting. A shout out to everybody who's hitting the Cash App, by the way. A lot of folks are hitting the Cash App. Cash App is $KingFlex818. $KingFlex818, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, they're not talking about that case, by the way. That brother who killed them white people, they're not talking about that case. They're very quiet about that case. They don't want to give nobody no ideas. That brother was like, hey, if they gonna keep harming us, we gonna take some with us. And he's in court like, all right, what? Corey Ali Muhammad, that's the guy's name. This is what the system of white supremacy does this to you. But it is what it is. Anyway, let me get up out of here, guys. It's been real. We had a good conversation tonight. I will holler at you guys this Sunday. And y'all be good.